There's a time and a place for a fillet of fish. But breakfast is for sausage biscuits. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
There's a time and a place for a fillet of fish. But breakfast is for sausage biscuits. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 million protection package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.
The case against Koberger. It's getting more interesting by the moment, really. And we're going to talk about some of those new developments here in just a second. The latest turn of events in the case, the defense is hammering away at crucial new revelations, unidentified male DNA at the crime scene. Now, this isn't exactly super new. We did hear about this a long time ago, but hey, let's point it out more, and maybe there's something to it. Well, prosecutors remain steadfast in their case against Koberger. His legal team is arguing that this unknown DNA could suggest alternative suspects, or at the very least, cast reasonable doubts. That's the goal. But will this argument hold up in court? Could this be a potential game changer, or is it just another classic defense tactic that ultimately won't sway a jury? To break it all down, the legal significance of the evidence, the defense's strategy, and what we can expect moving forward, joined by attorney and former prosecutor Eric Faddis. Eric, when we are looking at this case and the discovery of the identified male DNA, is it something that you think really could truly shake up the prosecution's case, or is it just another one of the Hail Marys that seems to be being thrown by Ann Taylor as we continue on this journey?
Yeah, Tony, in first hearing about it, it kind of seems like a bombshell, right? It seems like this huge deal that there's other potential male DNA at the scene. But when you really dig into it and what the potential explanations are for that DNA there, it's not overly impactful for me. I think that there are ways the government is going to handle this that could be effective, and certainly the defense has a right to argue it, but I'm not sure it goes as far as they think they do.
Yeah, I mean, it's I saw it, and I remember hearing about this early on, that there was other unidentified male DNA. I think we just recently learned that it was blood DNA that was found off of. But again, it didn't really strike me as anything all that exciting, quite honestly, because it wasn't found on or really near the bodies. If we're considering the knife sheath was like right there on the bodies, this was on a railing in another part of the house. And the other one was inside a glove that was found outside of the house, you know, kind of out there near the road and such. If you're a defense attorney, though, and you have this, you know, other DNA that has shown up, I would assume this is probably the road you'd want to head down, other than just presenting it here now as possible reasonable doubt in the court of public opinion. Where do you think Ann Taylor is going to take it?
Yeah, you know, I think having Koberger's DNA at the scene on the knife sheath in the way that it is in proximity to the victim, that could be a nail in the coffin. And so so the defense is smart to try to attack that. The way they're attacking that is highlighting this other potential DNA. And if I'm the defense, I'm saying, hey, look, this came from blood. Why is there not only one man's blood on the premises, but two people's blood, blood samples for males? Now, I think I'm not sure how much blood was actually there. I don't think it was like a huge pool of blood on the hand on the inside railing or something. But definitely a route the defense has to go because they don't have a lot of other avenues.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at where the blood was found, a handrail. Okay, I mean, I cook all the time, so I don't currently have a scar on my hand today, but it's a lucky day. Normally, there'd be something going on from me, my knife, and whatever. So a handrail. Again, a place you're going to put your hand, and people do get cuts in their hand, and you can find blood there, I'm sure. And a glove outside in a cold weather environment. I've lived in many a cold weather environments. I've lived in college towns, and I've gone for walks at night or any time of the day. And I would say, you know, almost anywhere where it's cold, walk for, I don't know, 30 minutes outside, you're probably going to find a couple gloves laying on the ground. And again, if you have a glove on, and if you have anything, a hangnail and whatever, you could easily have DNA in it. It doesn't seem like that strong of an argument, but can the prosecution make it that clear to a jury?
You know, I think that is what they're going to have to do, because there is sort of like a sexiness to arguing for the defense, saying that, hey, there's this other two other male DNA at the scene. So the government really has to neutralize that. They have to take the bite out of that, perhaps by arguing that, hey, look, like you said, this is a college house. Man, I've went to college, and you know, it wouldn't be unusual for there to be vomit and spit and all sorts of biological fluids there. So the fact that there is some biological material from other dudes at this college potential party house, that's not a huge bombshell.
It doesn't seem like it to me either, but I get they're going to throw it out there. Ultimately, at the end of it, Ann Taylor is really trying to push, look, the way that you got the DNA on Koberger on the knife sheath, we don't think that was right. And it's an interesting argument, because it's not illegal the way that they covered it. It more so technically violates a policy within the FBI, the way that they had gotten that information by going into that private database. Again, anyone could do it if you had the information to do it, if you had the DNA. Again, nothing illegal about it, but that's what they're saying. More so it violates policy than it does actually break the law. But is that enough, though, to get something like that thrown out of court, which would essentially throw the whole case out if you take that out of the equation?
Yeah, you know, I think the judge is going to say, you know, policy is small. It's not a big deal. It's not germane to the legal issues the court would have to decide. Like you said, this is just as our modern society kind of progresses, there are going to be creative measures that law enforcement and defense have to take to keep up with the times and to improve their cases in a meaningful way. I think that's what the prosecution did, and I don't think a judge is going to find fault with it.
And they're asking the defense right now, asking for a Franks hearing to look at the alleged omission of DNA evidence. Koberger's attorneys claim investigators omitted key details about the unknown DNA when obtaining search warrants. They argue that the magistrate judge had known about the DNA. The arrest warrant might not have been approved. Is that going to be a strong enough argument if they, in fact, are granted that Franks hearing?
Hard to win on a Franks hearing. I've done several of them. And, you know, because the thing is, the standard that the prosecution had to meet to get the warrant is super low. It's probable cause. And so a judge looking at that is going to say, it would have been nice to know about these potentially exculpatory pieces of information. But what's most central is that these victims were stabbed to death. There's a knife sheath within the building, and it allegedly has Brian Koberger's DNA on it. That is enough in and of itself, regardless of what other facts may have been omitted, to win the day on probable cause and to overcome a Franks hearing. hearing challenge from defense.
Howard Blum, the author of the book about the case, where he really got in there, really investigated. He was recently on with Megyn Kelly, I believe, talking about this. And he had a very interesting theory. As we will go back over here to the unknown DNA from on the glove and on the railing. His theory was that maybe Koberger planted it. Maybe Koberger put it there to try and throw investigators off. It's an interesting theory, but again, if you're going to do that, why would you put it in such obscure places, like over here on the handrail and in a glove somewhere outside? I would think if you're trying to skew someone's investigation, you'd have it right there by the knife sheath or by the bodies or something where it would certainly be identified. I think you're kind of, you know, rolling the dice here that even that DNA was going to be found the way it was.
Yeah, I mean, there's certainly a level of intrigue to that theory. And keep in mind, Brian Koberger was a PhD student in criminology. And so he kind of has some unique insights that not, you know, your normal student would have. That being said, if he was such a criminal mastermind, why did he botch his alibi so terribly? And you know, there are just other missteps that I think a criminal mastermind would not have made. And so, you know, interesting to consider.
It is. It is. And you make a lot of good points there. If he is the criminal mastermind, thought far enough ahead to go, I'm going to throw people off the trail with somebody else's blood. I'm not quite sure where you go get somebody else's blood, quite honestly, that easily to go, I'm going to put this on a rail. I'm going to put this on a glove. Two people's blood. I mean, I suppose you could figure out a way somehow. I don't know what that would be, and I'm not going to contemplate it really any more than this. But it would be quite a stretch to go that far. And if you're going to go that far, you're exactly right. Your alibi is simply you like looking at the stars, or is that more so a reaction to the fact that he got caught? Because he seemed very shocked that he got caught initially. Looked like the deer in the headlights. One of the first things he said was there anybody else? Or something, I'm paraphrasing to that nature. But that's what I'm wondering about. Did he think so closely about all this that he thought if it was him, that it was the perfect crime, and he completely just overlooked the fact that maybe somebody will look at you and ask for an alibi?
You know, it wouldn't be unprecedented for someone who is of reasonably high intelligence, who's engaging in crimes like this, and just thinks they're it, man, and they're not going to get caught. They're going to get away with this. And we saw in some of the body cam footage when Koberger was driving across the country after this happened with his dad, and they got pulled over. In some of that footage, he totally looks like a deer in headlights. He looks like, oh my God, is this going to be the time when they arrest me for what they think I've done? And so would not be surprising for a criminal to believe that they are so above the law and have done everything right that they won't get caught. And then lo and behold, here we are. I've got to scramble to come up with an alibi.
It makes me wonder. I wish we had other videos of Koberger in life to compare to, because I do wonder a little bit. Koberger presents himself as kind of an odd duck, to put it lightly. That makes me wonder, though, is he like that no matter what? If you just caught him like walking down the hall of the university, is he going to have that same kind of weird look on his face? Like, you caught me doing something, even if he really didn't do anything?
Yeah, it's a fair point, because, you know, we only have like one point of reference for him in terms of how he presents, and that's in court on this quadruple murder and then some of the body cam info, whatever, or footage. But it's significant to note that, like, different people present differently, and you know, and I've had a lot of cases where the government is like, oh, this dude's acting super suspicious and weird, while the guy is just kind of, like you said, an odd duck, and sometimes that might appear suspicious when it's truly not.
Yeah, there's a lot of that out there. Let's talk about the mental health records that have now been handed over to prosecutors in the case of Brian Koberger. Eric, where do you think this is going to go? What's the pros? What's the cons? Where do you think the prosecution is going to take the information that they're going to unearth in these medical records?
interesting move, a risky move by defense, because defense, in turning over medical records, likely is waiving any kind of physician-patient privilege that he might have had. So not only could prosecution comb through those records, which they absolutely will, find little tidbits that appear incriminating use against Coburger, but they could issue additional subpoenas to other medical providers, other doctors and therapists whom Coburger may have seen, and it could open up a huge can of worms for Coburger and give the prosecution gifts that they wouldn't have access to otherwise.
So when we're talking about medical records here, are these just specific ones from a specific point in his life, or are these like spanning all the way back to where we saw the allegations where he would have been online in his teen years talking about the visual snow and not having emotional connections to people and noticing that there was a big difference in his psyche from an early age?
So the medical records that were turned over were likely limited in scope, limited in time, that kind of thing. But the legal effect of turning those over could be a complete waiver of all physician-patient privilege. And so what that means is that the prosecution may be able to go into or at least seek records from years before and learn information about who those providers might have been, what health insurance might have been on board. They can get a health insurance ledger and determine what other providers Coburger has seen. So it really opens things up, and it's risky. I think defense is hoping there'll be some kind of sympathy or sense that there were mental health issues going on and the death penalty is therefore not appropriate.
Yeah. Is this a longer move like this? Is this a longer play to more so save his life, not necessarily not prove his innocence in this case? Because if we do look at these records, we do know from reporting from, I believe it was Howard, actually, with the dad that, you know, he's had trouble throughout his life. And there have been issues with him in the past that is out there. As far as what sort of treatment he got with mental health, obviously he was addicted to heroin for a while. All of these things, not necessarily making a murderer, but does it make a murderer when you put all the pieces together? And this is part of the recipe when you're looking at someone's mental health history to kind of go, yeah, they may have a propensity to possibly do something like this.
While it may contribute to this idea of making a murderer, it may also make him a poor candidate for the death penalty. And I'm just wondering, like you said, if that is kind of the long play that the defense is angling towards, because that can go a long way on the death penalty side. It can go a long way with jurors, with a judge. You know, mental health is really trending in the criminal justice system. And so I think it's probably defense signaling that, like, hey, if y'all go through the death penalty process, you're likely not going to be able to get it. So maybe let's consider something short of that.
Is this a move that may be out there prior to a trial, maybe for contemplating possibly some sort of a plea deal of some sort?
I think in reading between the lines, that could certainly be a message that's being transmitted. Is like, hey, you aren't going to do great at the death penalty phase because of this mental health stuff, or at least it really presents a risk for y'all, government. It's going to be super expensive go through the death penalty. The death penalty is issued a lot less frequently now than it used to be. So read in between the lines and give us a life without parole offer, and maybe this whole thing goes away.
Do you think we're going to see anything like that? Do you think that there would be a concession here on the part of the Coburger camp, or is this going to go to trial no matter what?
You know, I think it has such public attention right now. I don't think either side has any interest in backing down. Is there room for some kind of compromise like life without parole? I think there's always room for that. But as we get closer to trial, I think the prospects of that get lower and lower.
If true crime is your obsession, we've got you covered. Press subscribe now to the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today for nonstop coverage, expert insights, and in-depth analysis.
There's a time and a place for Filet-O-Fish, but breakfast is for sausage biscuits. McDonald's breakfast comes first.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 million protection package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Not all meals are created equal. For instance, breakfast has the spicy egg McMuffin for a limited time, and lunch doesn't. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
There's a time and a place for Filet-O-Fish, but breakfast is for sausage biscuits. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 million protection package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
There's a time and a place for Filet-O-Fish, but breakfast is for sausage biscuits. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 million protection package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Not all meals are created equal. For instance, breakfast has the spicy egg McMuffin for a limited time, and lunch doesn't. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 million protection package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
There's a time and a place for Filet-O-Fish, but breakfast is for sausage biscuits. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 million protection package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
I'm Rodney Williams.
And I'm Travis Holloway. Welcome to The Wealth Break.
Let's be honest. Building wealth doesn't look the same for everyone. It's not just about saving. It's about investing. It's about navigating systems that weren't built for you, embracing your hustle, and relying on your community to create something bigger.
And that's exactly why we created The Wealth Break. We made something different, something more human. It's not just another financial podcast. It's a conversation about real life, real struggles, and real wins.
We're here to talk about the journey. You're hearing from people who've broken barriers, found creative ways to succeed, and learned to build wealth on their terms. Whether it's the first-time homeowner, a gig worker, or someone turning a side hustle into a six-figure business, we're bringing you their stories.
And we're not stopping at success stories. We're breaking down the realities, like what it means to take risk, how to navigate failure, and why resilience matters. Because wealth isn't about money. It's about creating a life where you can thrive and help others to do the same.
So if you're ready for a podcast as much as about people as it is about money, you're in the right place.
Listen to The Wealth Break podcast on the iHeartRadio app.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 million protection package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.